DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
Good morning, Dolphins fans, and how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Tom Ernesty, and we are coming to you live from the DolphinsTalk.com studio on November 30th, last day of November, as we gear up for a weekend game against the Buffalo Bills. Starting off today, you know, a little bit of news coming out of practice. The Dolphins did get back Travis Swanson. He is on the field. He was practicing as of Thursday. It looks like he should be able to go Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, which means one big thing is Jake Brendel most likely will be the starting left guard for the Miami Dolphins this Sunday with Ted Larson, who's been absolutely awful this year. He will most likely be as a backup player, which for the most part is a good news. Brendel has played very well since coming back from injury. He played in the Packers game before the bye week, and then he did pretty well last week against the Indianapolis Colts. So expectations are that Brendel will be starting left guard, and Larson will go to the bench as a reserve guard for the Dolphins in this game, with Travis Swanson likely coming back. That's the good news. As of yesterday, the bad news is Danny Amendola still has not practiced. He took a shot on an 8-yard run by Kenyon Drake Sunday against the Colts. Drake kind of fell into the back of his leg. Amendola did return for a very short period of time, but then was kept out for the rest of the game. He has not practiced at all this week, and his status going into this game is highly doubtful, which is where the Dolphins promoted Isaiah Ford from the practice squad, putting Jakeem Grant on IR. That happened earlier in the week. But the big piece of this whole thing is we finally get our chance to see Isaiah Ford. Regardless if Amendola can go or not, Isaiah Ford most likely will be in the lineup and probably play a pretty significant role for the Miami Dolphins going into this game this week against the Buffalo Bills. So with the Buffalo Bills, and I'll get into this with the countdown to kickoff show this coming Sunday, the Buffalo Bills are 4-7. They're not that bad of a team. They aren't very good offensively. Outside of a couple explosive plays here and there from like Josh Allen last week against the Jaguars, he had a long touchdown. He's had a couple big runs. Outside of that, the Bills have just been absolutely atrocious on offense this year. But it's going to be a very interesting game against the Bills, and to see where this Dolphins team is going to go. Is this a team that's going to pack it in and send Adam Gase packing, for that matter? Because if this team just completely collapses down the stretch, be rest assured that Adam Gase most likely may not be back. But, I mean, there's all sorts of reports out there right now that Adam Gase is going to get potential extension and stay the head coach of the Miami Dolphins in 2019, but I believe that caveat number one is a quarterback taken very high in this draft come April. A lot of things have to happen before that, but the game on Sunday is going to be important. So outside of the injuries with Danny Amendola, here's a couple news tidbits that I just want to talk about and kind of give you my opinion on as we get going. And I will get into Jordan Phillips' comments. I will save that for the very end. The first thing that was very interesting today, as reported by Armando Salguero, is Kenny Stills, you know, the guy that the Dolphins believe is their number one receiver. He has not been putting up his typical numbers this year and doesn't believe that any fault is of his own. And, you know, he went on to quote, "I couldn't tell you exactly why I'm not getting more targets. I can tell you I'm getting open. There are other guys open on plays too that aren't getting hit. I can't throw the ball to myself. So that kind of goes into this part of the part of this conversation with Stills. Was he taking a shot at Ryan Tannehill? Was he taking a shot at Adam Gase? That could be a strong possibility with Stills, I believe, only having 5 or 6 catches since week 5. So it hasn't been, he's got 20 receptions on the years for 332 yards and 4 touchdowns in the 10 games. And he had 15 receptions with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback primarily until Tannehill got hurt. So a lot of that has to do with quarterback change, Brock Osweiler being an absolute lame duck, and I'm not just talking about his passes, really slowed Kenny Stills down. But Stills definitely wanted to clarify that he was not voicing displeasure of his down year in Miami. He said, end quote, we all get frustrated, but I'm a team guy, always have been, whatever we do to get the win. So the good news for Kenny Stills in the offense is Tannehill did return from injury. He did play pretty well last week in Indianapolis. Not saying he played great, but he did play well in that game in Indy. And 3 of the team's final 5 games are at home, as well as a indoor road game against the Vikings. We'll see. I'm hopeful that Kenny Stills just had a down year just because of so many crazy things happening within this offense this year. Kenny Stills has to be on the roster going forward. I would take Kenny Stills 1 million times out of 1 million times over Devontae Parker as the team's number one receiver. We know we're going to get Grant and we're going to get Albert Wilson back. Amendola's likely to be back. He's got another year on his contract. I would love to see the Dolphins go out and get a wide receiver in the draft. I'm not sure what round or who or what. I haven't really looked into it yet, but we got to get some more help at the offensive position, skill position players, and add real quality depth there. And hopefully Kenny Stills is still a part of the team's plans going forward. Great article that came out today from Brian Miller at the Fin Fanatic talking about the Dolphins could be growing tired of quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Now, yes, I am talking about Ryan Tannehill today. But this was a very good article and a very good opinion from Brian Miller, basically saying, the title of the article is a bit condemning, growing tired of Ryan Tannehill, but couldn't think of a better one that expresses what might be going on behind closed doors in the Dolphins front office. He's not suggesting that Ryan Tannehill has fallen completely out of favor with the team, but at this stage, with reports coming out that Mike Tannenbaum has been going to Oklahoma games, West Virginia games, Ohio State games, Michigan games, Oregon games, the truth is there that Mike Tannenbaum is leading a search and he is doing extensive research on the quarterbacks in this draft class. And Stephen Ross is reported last year at the draft was banging the table of trading back since they lost Josh Rosen, trading back and acquiring more draft picks for the future. The team did select Micah Fitzpatrick, which no one is going to complain about. Micah Fitzpatrick is a fantastic football player. Not going to complain about that. But Stephen Ross questioned the teams and the team. When I'm saying the team, I'm talking about Tannenbaum, Greer, and Gase, that they decided not to sit still and not trade up for a quarterback, and they didn't get one. So here we are in 2018 season with Ryan Tannehill coming off an injury, Brock Osweiler falling apart, and the team had no contingency plans at quarterback. But when you look in review at Ryan Tannehill, it's always been an up and down career. 16 was his best year, but he always has shown that ability to be a very good quarterback. But at the same time, on the next play, he shows the ability that he's not the quarterback of this team, not the quarterback of the future, and the Dolphins should move on. I'm on board if the Dolphins decide that they need to move on from Tannehill, but you got to get the right contingency plan in place for that to even happen. And that's drafting a quarterback early with the expectation he's going to start right away. Or you bring in a guy, and I mentioned it this week on Twitter, maybe you bring in a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, and then you draft a quarterback high. Let Bridgewater be your, quote, bridge quarterback for a year if you decide to move on from Tannehill. The other direction is the team can say, all right, Ryan, we need you to take a pay cut to stay here or we're going to release you. If he says no, which why would he say, yeah, sure, I'll take a pay cut. It's his livelihood. It's money. There's no way he's just going to say no. Unless he firmly believes and his agent believes that he's not going to land another starting quarterback job in the open market, which could be the case. But when you look at how many teams are looking for a quarterback, potentially there's at least 6 to 8 teams that are going to look for a new signal caller going in next year. Tannehill could get a starting job with the Raiders, with the Broncos, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of different things that can happen going forward. But it was a great article from Brian regarding Ryan Tannehill and if his time is really done in Miami. There's so many question marks and so many things that have happened. And the proof in the pudding is Adam Gase did not give the ball to Ryan Tannehill when it mattered, which was the fourth quarter of the game against the Indianapolis Colts on 3rd and 10, decided to run a draw play that netted 6 yards and you punted and the Colts immediately score to take the lead and win the game, essentially close everything out on the Dolphins 2018 season. Yes, mathematically still alive, but so much has to happen for the Dolphins to get into the postseason. So it's really not worth talking about at this point unless things start falling back into place for the Miami Dolphins, which really has to start with a win against the Buffalo Bills at home this week. I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'm going to talk about Jordan Phillips and some of the asinine things he's been saying leading up to his return to Hard Rock Stadium against his former team, the Miami Dolphins. I'll be back after these words.
The DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network brings you only the best podcasts covering the Miami Dolphins. With fins up, fans down, welcome to Perfectville, the same old Dolphins show, the Landon and Jeff show, as well as DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast, you will get in-depth coverage from diehard passionate Miami Dolphins fans each and every week. Be sure to listen to all these great podcasts and check them out at DolphinsTalk.com.
We are back, and I want to wrap up this show in kind of a little bit of a rant regarding Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips has been talking smack pretty much the entire time leading up to this game. Now, if you remember Jordan Phillips, and a lot of us do, mostly because he did jack squat while he was here in Miami, he was cut by the Dolphins on October 2nd after a sideline argument with a defensive line coach. He told the Buffalo media this week in advance of Sunday's game in Miami that, quote, things have definitely turned around since I've been here in Buffalo. Fans love me. My teammates love me. Whoever has something coming to them is going to get it on Sunday. Okay. Phillips went on to say, I don't care anything about professionalism, to be completely honest with you, going into this game. Everything's going to be handled in between the sidelines. Once we are inside those white lines, anything goes. There are going to be more Bills fans than Miami fans there. He also said this too. Most people that leave Miami, that's really when their career gets started. Okay. Before I really dive into this whole thing with Jordan Phillips, there was an article written by Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, and I just want to kind of quickly go through this. Jordan Phillips said, people who leave Miami typically are better wherever else they go. So, I love the fact Barry Jackson went into this, but I'm going to kind of highlight some of these things for you. Four seasons in Miami, Jarvis Landry averaged 100 catches per season, 109 receiving yards per game, and 5.5 touchdowns per season in Miami. So far in Cleveland, he's on pace for lesser numbers in all three categories. As it stands, he would finish with 87 catches, 916 receiving yards, and 3 touchdowns. Much better than when he was with Miami. Ndamukong Suh averaged 60 tackles and 5.2 sacks in each of his 3 seasons in Miami. With the Rams, he has 34 tackles and 3.5 sacks, so he's pacing for 49 tackles and 5 sacks. Oh, and by the way, one of the bigger metrics in all of football is Pro Football Focus right now ranks him 27th among defensive tackles this year. He was routinely in the top 10 in Miami. He's better. He left Miami. I mean, there are some players that have done better since leaving Miami. Mike Pouncey's having a very good year with the Chargers. Lamar Miller has had a pretty good career with the Houston Texans after 4 years in Miami. Jay Ajayi has pretty much been the same guy, except he's getting a lot less touches with Philadelphia, and he's also out for the season. The big ones here that stand out to me is not just the first two, but this one. Defensive end Olivier Vernon had 188 tackles and 29 sacks in his 4 years in Miami. Since he signed his $75 million deal with the Giants, he has 111 tackles and 16 sacks in 3 years since joining the Giants. And there's a likely scenario that Olivier Vernon is playing his last downs with the Giants. He might be released by the New York Giants coming this offseason. So, very good stuff from Barry Jackson in regards of Jordan Phillips. So, let me kind of dive into this Jordan Phillips thing. Jordan Phillips, let's just start with this. You worried so damn much about what the media has to say to you, particularly a guy like Omar Kelly, who called you out for being lazy and awful in your time in Miami, and you said, we could settle this like men in the parking lot. Cool. Jordan Phillips, cool. That's your focus. Your focus is on that. Now your focus is turning to the fans. There's going to be more Buffalo fans than Miami fans at the game this Sunday. And when I get in between the lines, whoever's going to get theirs is going to get theirs. Jordan Phillips, you haven't done a damn thing in the NFL since you've come in here. You were lazy coming out of college. You were drafted by Joe Philbin in the second round. And one of the tags by draft analysis and college scouts and NFL scouts is that you're fat and you're lazy. That's the first part. The second part, you were playing with one of the best defensive tackles to ever suit up on a Sunday in Ndamukong Suh. Let's quickly go through your career in Miami. You had 15 games your rookie season. You started in 4. You had 19 combined tackles and 2 sacks. 4 passes defended. Good. Great for rookie season. Very good. Maybe you'll turn the corner. 2016, you had 16 games, and you started 11 of them. You finished with 23 total tackles and a half sack. In 2017, you had 13 total games. You only had 16 tackles, 2 sacks, and 3 passes defended. This year in Miami, you played 4 games. You had 5 total tackles and 1 sack and 1 pass defended. You complained more in one game than the amount of tackles you had in your entire time with the Miami Dolphins. And you go to Buffalo and you said, I'm doing so much better in Buffalo. Yeah, you're putting up whopping stats. And okay, you all can bring it on with me when it comes to, well, stats don't tell the whole story. Okay, stats don't tell the whole story. He's got 7 total tackles with the Bills and 2 passes defended. That's it. What kind of impact is he making? I don't see much. Bills are 4-7. They've won maybe, what, 1 or 2 games since he's been there? And they beat the Jets and the Jaguars? Congratulations. Great job. Jordan Phillips, I'll tell you one thing. You're going to go into this game in Miami and you're going to get amped up. You're going to get fired up. You're going to be ready to go against the Miami Dolphins. And I'll tell you one thing. Even if you have a great game, you're still not going to amount to anything in your career because you're worthless. You have been worthless and you haven't done a damn thing in the NFL since you've been there. Nothing. So good luck on Sunday. And if someone accidentally chop blocks you at the line of scrimmage and you get hurt, I'm not going to cry about it. I'm really not. Because karma's a bitch. And you may have some coming your way. And I think the best karma, I hope you really don't get hurt, but I'm not going to cry if you do. But the best is the Dolphins beat the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, and Jordan Phillips can wallow and have a Cuban sandwich on the way out the door and get his ass back to Buffalo where he can stuff his lazy ass with more chicken wings. That's my rant about Jordan Phillips. People who are so salty about their professional career where it did not work out in one spot, you came into the whole thing already with negativity and you left with negativity. They try to make it work. You couldn't make it work. And you couldn't even play well when you're next to Ndamukong Suh. Two guys last year, two rookies who were drafted in the fifth and the sixth round, outplayed you. And you were drafted in the second round. So what does that say about you? Not a whole hell of a lot. I'm much more thankful that we have a guy like Devon Godchow and Vincent Taylor at defensive tackle for the future, because those guys are going to bring it. And they've proven they can bring it every single week. Jordan Phillips, you take more time off than anybody else I've ever seen on the field. You're frustrating to watch. I'm glad the Bills Mafia love you, but at the end of the day, I hope you lose. So I'm done. That's my rant for the night. We will be back with another show, most likely, maybe Saturday. I'm not sure if Mike is going to be doing a show on Saturday morning, but we will have countdown to kickoff on Sunday leading up to kickoff against the Buffalo Bills at Hard Rock Stadium. It is throwback day for both teams. If the game stinks, just enjoy looking at those uniforms, because both those teams' uniforms from the throwbacks from the 60s and 70s are top-notch, fantastic throwback uniforms. And also, perfect time, it's a perfect gift, go to NFL Shop and get your throwback jerseys for your Miami Dolphins fans. That is a plug. I'm sorry. I wish the NFL would pay me for it. But thank you all for listening. Again, this is Tom Ernesty. You can follow me on Twitter at TErnesty13. Make sure you go to our website every day, DolphinsTalk.com, for everything related to your Miami Dolphins. It's a one-stop shop. Make sure you click on it. Check out the great articles that our staff has for you. And we will be back, hopefully Saturday, with Mike. If not, Sunday morning, back with me, leading you up to kickoff against the Buffalo Bills. I am out. Have a great day. Have a great Friday.